Chicago Sports Conversation is now. The Beat on 720 WGN. Just a beat.
Good afternoon, 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7 o'clock tonight. The Northwestern Wildcats creeping closer and closer to an NCAA tournament bid. And I'm starting to dream, actually, Big Ten Championship Indiana at Welsh Ryan Arena tomorrow. We should start, though, Harry, with what is becoming a Chicago Bears-esque disaster. And disaster is maybe a little bit too strong. Disappointment. How about that? That's a better word. Chicago Bears disappointment level in what once was the pride of this city for six NBA championship years, for many years rising up on their way there, losing to Detroit. This was a basketball town. People were flocking to Chicago Stadium. They were flocking to the United Center. And now it's almost like you have to look at the people that are going into the United Center and wonder, what are you doing? Why are you paying your money to go see this team play basketball? They are not in it to win it, for lack of a better way. They are a fractured bunch and a confused bunch. And it hurts my heart, Harry. I'm a big Bulls guy, as you know. To see the dysfunction with Dwayne Wade aligning himself with Jimmy Butler and then attacking young players, which just seems wrong. And I know this is long-winded. I apologize. And then Rajon Rondo all of a sudden being the voice of reason. And then the head coach doing nothing. And then management doing less than nothing. It's disappointing, Harry.
It's crazy to me because, you know, the two guys that are like on either side of this have both won championships in the NBA. They both know what it is to give 200% and to be about the team. And here you have, you know, in this corner, Wade and Butler, in this corner, Rondo. They need another corner for Gar Pax and Coach Fred Hoiberg. It's a soap opera more than it is a basketball team. And I don't know how it got like this, but stop it. Just stop it. It's like when your kids are yelling. Don't say it's her fault. Don't say it's his fault. Just stop it.
That sounds like we just entered a whole other land of
whole other land.
Yeah, that, but we
Kitty land.
Yeah, okay. I hear that, the whole stop it thing, but in order to stop it the way you're saying stop it, you need a leader at the top who is respected and feared.
Who's the leader of the Chicago Bulls?
Great question. I mean, when Tom Thibodeau was here, You could be playing for the Bulls and perhaps not appreciate the way he was very controlling with calling plays. And maybe you thought he was playing guys too many minutes. But one thing about Tibbs, he had their respect. He might have had their anger at times, but he had their respect. And he knew that Derrick Rose was an introvert.
Yeah.
That's saying it nicely. And that he had to exert his control on the team. Because when your point guard is kind of just doing his own thing, to a point at least, you know, the coach has to be out in front and controlling what plays they're calling. Now, Tibbs probably likes it that way. And by the way, the Minnesota Timberwolves have been playing some pretty good basketball as of late and have an outside shot of making the playoffs in the Western Conference, which is neither here nor there, but worth mentioning. And it's not, and I'm not just saying that it's Tibbs, but management got rid of Tibbs because Tibbs was very hard to work with, according to management. I mean, they've said that to basically anyone who would listen, that Tom was off in his own world and didn't want to take the training staff's advice, didn't want to take video people's advice, all of that. So they bonged him out of there for their guy, Fred Hoiberg, who has, and I don't think this is even harsh, he has zero respect. The players just don't, I mean, they think he's a nice guy, I think they think he's a good guy, but they don't respect him, and that's a huge problem.
Well, you know, it's kind of weird to me that he doesn't have respect because he played in a terrific college coach, played in this league, and was an executive for the Minnesota Timberwolves. So it's kind of strange that they don't respect him. It kind of reminds me of the Tim Floyd situation, in that they brought in a very successful college coach, and like everything is going wrong at once. But so your answer to who's in charge of the Bulls? I mean, who's the leader of the Bulls? You're saying that it is a coach, the player? Is it higher than that? Is it Pax? Should Pax be doing something?
I when John Paxson talks, I feel like there's at least, I mean, I love hearing from John Paxson.
Right.
I would think the players would like hearing from John Paxson. Won 3 NBA championships here. Played with the greatest player that's ever played. I would think that
he's the leader.
Well, then, you know, and then at some point too, like with your Pax, right?
Right.
I don't know if you're going here, Harry, but wouldn't it be great if John was like, you know what, guys? Hey, listen, we've paid way too much money for coaches who are not coaching the team. And by the way, I've been here for a long, long time. I'm not asking for any more money. I'm not asking for anything. But I am going to come down. And I'm going to coach the team. To me, that would be awesome. Pax, you have to be frustrated being up there. Go down to the sidelines and engage on that level. I don't think he'll do it, but wouldn't that be great?
That would certainly be interesting. What I want Pax to do, and John Paxson doesn't need to take my advice, but I want John Paxson to call the players out for not playing hard.
He's done that though, Harry.
But they're still not playing hard. How can you? You know, you're not going to win every game. You're not going to win every trip down the floor. But play hard every trip down the floor.
Well, see,
play hard on defense.
Who do you see not playing hard?
Where do you start? I mean, who do I see playing hard?
Well, okay, like I thought that Jerry and Grant, who whenever he's gotten an opportunity, I've never had a problem with his effort. I never have a problem with Taj Gibson's effort.
Paul Zipser.
I'm into Paul Zipser. Give me some Zip.
I knew you would be.
I watched Paul Zipser highlights when they signed. Do you remember? I don't know if we were doing the show that day, but when they signed, I don't know if you remember this, Dan Long, producer extraordinaire, but when they signed Zipser, I did the whole YouTube Zipser highlight reel watch. And I'm watching Zipser. I'm like, this dude has some talent, and he's getting more time right now, which is partly because Doug McDermott is terrible.
They haven't drafted well.
They have not.
Right. I mean, we're expecting two first round picks to play for the Windy City Bulls tonight. We're expecting Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine to play for the Windy City Bulls. They should be playing for the Chicago Bulls. And not only has Portis, you know, disappointed in terms of what he does on the court, but they have destroyed his trade value by not playing him.
Well, but he's just not good.
Like if you can't play him at all, you can't find a way for Bobby Portis to contribute to this team. SEC Player of the Year.
That's fair. You want to play him 10, 15 minutes a night to try to develop him. Okay. I don't think you're going to get much, but I hear you. Put him on the court. I'm down. Let's get some Bobby Portis out there.
And right. while we're at least now you have the opportunity to get something back for him. If he's playing for the Windy City Bulls, you're not going to get anywhere near as much for him as if he's playing 5 minutes a half.
312-981-7200. Bulls fans would love to hear from you. Let's have some group therapy right here. It would be good for, if not for you, most definitely for me. We have a ton to do on the program, by the way, but we do have one Bulls guest today, Sam Smith.
That's a good one.
I love Sam Smith. He'll be with us at 4:10. Actually, that just reminded me, I have to remind Sam Smith that he's coming on the show today. I hope Sam Smith is good with that. I did talk to Sam last night. So there's also this thing called the Super Bowl coming up. So we're going to get into some prop bets coming up at 3:35. And we have Harry's game. Like everybody, you all yell at me because my games are terrible, even though they're great. But you guys like to say they're terrible. Harry's got his own game today. So that will be at some point in the show. We reached out to Dave Ennett to talk some Northwestern Wildcat basketball because I can't sit still about the Wildcats going to the tournament.
1944. Yes, was the last time that Northwestern had a winning streak in the Big Ten, as long as the winning streak they are currently on. That's crazy. I mean, that's insane.
It is.
And it's also nuts, and everybody's talked about this, that they've never been. They've never been to the Big Dance. And, boy, you know, unless there's a total disaster, unless star players start going through social media to call out the other players, I think this Northwestern team is going dancing.
They absolutely are. Dave Enno will be with us at 3:35, by the way.
Nice.
So there we go. Little Wildcat. Slash, we can talk a bunch of stuff with Dave, too. But, hey, coming up next.
Yes.
I have, there's a guy in the NBA that's having a massive problem. He needs to be traded. And, I think it can help the Bulls in the process.
Oh, I thought for sure. I think congratulations for finding a guy in the NBA having a massive problem that's not on the Chicago Bulls.
It wasn't that hard to do, actually. But I'm not saying his problems are as deep as the Bulls' problems. I'm just saying that he has some all that.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to fix the Bulls and fix this dude and get everybody on board next. Okay, Harry?
I anticipate that conversation.
So this week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are taking two of your favorite foods and creating one amazing dish. Chicago's Best Mashups, Harry.
Oh, good idea for a show.
That's solid. Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Fixing the Bulls, fixing the NBA. Talking to you straight ahead. 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. We're fixing the NBA and we're fixing the Bulls. And we're also talking to you, 312-981-7200. Harry, when's the last time you were at the United Center for a Bulls game?
I was going to go last Saturday, but then at the last second I couldn't go.
Okay.
So I need to get there soon. The answer to that.
I guess the point is that... I haven't experienced at the United Center what I experienced last night since, like, the Rusty LaRue 1999-2000 era, where the game ends, the Bulls lose, and the crowd boos them off. I mean, it was a legit boo.
They were booing, and Reinsdorf was, you know, part of it.
Yeah, Jerry was in town because it was Sox Fest. We'll actually have some Sox Fest conversation today at 6, if you want to mark that on your calendar. But, yeah, Jerry's in the house. His team's getting booed. Taj Gibson talked to him afterwards. It hurts my heart. I go out there every single game and give everything I possibly have to hear that hurts. They're not booing you, Taj, by the way.
No, they're not booing you. But
and they're not actually booing any of the players either, I don't think. I think they're booing Gar Forman, and I think they're booing John Paxson. I think they perhaps might be booing Fred Hoiberg. And maybe they're booing, just the whole dysfunction of it, like the player dysfunction.
You know, the Bulls have been in this, everybody knows that, the Bulls have been in this kind of like a vicious cycle of being good enough to make the playoffs, but nowhere near good enough to go after the trip to the NBA Finals. And it seems like now they are destined to just, you know, to sort of play out the string. And I don't want to see that. And I think that's where the booing comes from, is the frustration, like, you know, it's got to matter more. It's got to matter more to the team as a whole, to the individuals, instead of going at it at Twitter, you know, on Twitter, just, you know, Instagram, just go after it in practice.
Fair enough. I think people want to see more effort, or at the end of the day, I think they just want to see him win. Hey, let's get a couple calls in here, Harry. 312-981-7200, talking to you. Steve, you're a season ticket holder. You're thinking about giving them up?
I am. I've been a season ticket holder since 1989.
Wow.
And I was going to chuck it in if they kept Rose, and I think they did the right thing to do to not have him around. But you guys are right. It's a combination of a lot of things, and it might be Reinsdorf's son. I mean, they just don't have anything, and they're not anybody. They're not any persona.
Well,
so why am I going to spend $1,000 a game for four seats when I haven't parked, eaten, or had a beer to watch that?
Hold on a second there, Steve. I want to know your history now. You got tickets in 1989. Where were you sitting in 89?
I was sitting in the old Chicago Stadium in the, you know, kind of right on the first deck, the first balcony. Near the front, toward the, you know, the free throw line, let's call it.
Okay, so your free throw line, first balcony, Chicago Stadium, phenomenal seat, and now you've upgraded into lower level 100s, is that right?
Yeah, we're behind the bench. You know, we're a little bit behind the bench across from the free throw line.
Oh, that's great. You know,
I mean, if you want me to yell at him, I'll do that. I just tell me what you guys think, and I'll just stop. But you understand my point. It's not you. I'm not going to boo them. I'm just not going to renew my tickets.
And see,
that's worse. That's worse for the Chicago Bulls.
Right. So you're getting.
They're not going to fill up the third tier with free tickets. They're not going to fill up my tier with free tickets.
All right, Steve. Let me give you this approach, okay? Because if you do sell them, one of the things that could happen is they get good. You know,
I've considered that. I've considered that.
So
but
why not? Why not divvy them up? Why not find a few friends
We do divvy them up. Oh. But here's the real problem the Bulls have. The Hawks are worth something. People go there. The Cubs are on fire. People go there. It's not just basketball.
It's a great point.
There's pulls and tugs to other teams. And even the White Sox might come out of the dungeon here.
Right.
But so when you're at that level, when you're in the 100 and 200 series, and the market value of your ticket is substantially lower than the face value, that's a problem for the Bulls.
Yep.
That's not the case for the Bears. The Bears stink. We understand they got their own problems. But the market value of a Bears ticket is still above the face value.
Not at the end. Not at the end. There were 82 people.
No. I understand. Yeah. I don't consider that. I mean, it might go. It takes a couple seasons to work this out. But this has been the case for multiple seasons, and they still keep raising the prices of these seats like they think they're in the NBA Finals.
Yep, they should be giving you a discount, Steve. You do get at least the Bulls give you what your tickets are face value. Is a lot more than what you actually pay being a season ticket holder, though, correct?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm not absolutely positive.
I don't think you're right about that, because if your ticket was available at the window, like they don't sell every single 100-level seat,
right.
It's more than what you pay. Now, that price at the window is an absurd price. It's like your ticket's like $240. For you, it's like maybe $180, right?
No, we're $225.
$225. So maybe it's $240 at the window, $15 more. But you're getting a drop.
That's
but
not the point.
$225 is insane.
You can buy them on StubHub cheaper than I paid for my ticket.
Yep, and you got to.
So,
and if you do that, you got to.
That would be the incentive for me. You know, and I understand they could get good, but I still could go on StubHub and go to my 10 games a year.
Yep.
And not bother with it.
Yep.
They don't have a marketing problem. They got a whole structural problem there.
Yep. All right, Steve. Thank you, man.
Anyway,
hang in there, Steve.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong and they get better. But I do agree with you guys. People in Chicago can take a lot, but they cannot take people who don't want to play every night. They won't sit for that.
Yep.
It's very frustrating.
And, Steve, thanks for the call, man. 312-981-7200. Hang on a second here.
Bulls Sixers tomorrow, by the way.
Yep. Northwestern Indiana tomorrow.
Ooh. I know which game you'd rather be at.
I know which game I'm going to be at. Here's my trade. And we'll take more Bulls calls here, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. Okay, Carmelo Anthony has to leave New York. It is a nonstop attack on him right now, and even though he has a no-trade clause, I think he's waiving his no-trade. The Bulls are old. They have Dwayne Wade old, who's, by the way, very good friends with Carmelo.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler is in the middle of his prime. And I'm not saying this is going to fix the Bulls, by the way. But he wants to go. The LA Clippers are interested in doing something and are willing to be a trade partner. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, in my world, Carmelo plays here and he doesn't play for the Clippers. But we can get involved here. Here's my deal. And Sam Smith's the NBA trade expert. We can kick it around with him at 410. I've got Robin Lopez and Taj Gibson leaving the Bulls. Lopez goes to the Knicks. Gibson goes to the Clippers.
So Lopez is going back to the Knicks.
Back to the Knicks. Well, he was at Brooklyn Net.
Sorry. You're right. Brooklyn Net.
So now, but he's going back to the East Coast. The Clippers are trading Austin Rivers. So they're trading Austin Rivers. They're getting Taj Gibson. The Bulls are getting Carmelo. So the Knicks rid themselves of Carmelo. They get a serviceable center in Robin Lopez and a point guard in Austin Rivers. The Clippers get Taj Gibson to help them for the playoff, push a little bit of insurance behind Blake Griffin and company. And we get Carmelo. Trade works money-wise.
The Clippers
go up by 2 wins, according to the ESPN trade machine, which is the most amazing thing ever. The Bulls go down by 5 wins. I don't care. That's fine. We have Carmelo. I'm interested again. And the Knicks lose seven wins. But the Knicks don't care anyway. They want to just get rid of him.
The Knicks have big man. They got this guy number 13 there also. Right?
Yes, they have Joakim Noah, and they've got a lot of big men. So then you just move one of them along. You're just getting rid of Melo, and then you can trade Robin Lopez, you could trade Joakim, you could trade whoever. I mean,
when Carmelo came here a couple years ago to visit as a free agent, were you hoping the Bulls would sign him then?
No, but now they're just so dysfunctional that just let's go. Let's add on more dysfunction. It'll make it more interesting. You with me?
I need to digest this. One team already said no to Carmelo. One team was offered.
A lot of teams
up.
Have said
yeah.
no. The Celtics have said no. The Clippers and the Cavs have said no. Right. All right. 3:31 into the newsroom. I had to get that off my chest. Dave Ennett is going to join us. Talk to you as well. News sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Trying to fix the basketball world here. I adjusted the trade too.
Good.
Just to get it done. I got Jamal Crawford and Taj Gibson going to the Knicks. The Bulls get Austin Rivers for Taj. 3 years, point guard for 3 years under contract. You need a point guard, and the Clippers get Carmelo. Done.
All right, so we're not bringing Carmelo here.
Now I got you Austin Rivers.
Yeah, not enough basketballs in the game for Carmelo to be on this Bulls team.
I'd like to see Carmelo out in New York. I want that saga to end. I'm trying to help Phil Jackson out.
Boys, I'm not a big New York guy. I mean, it's a wonderful city to go to for, 5 days, but let them wallow. I'm all for the Knicks wobbling.
Dave Ennett was just recently there, saw the Cats win the pinstripe bowl. Then he went back to Piscataway, New Jersey to see Northwestern beat Rutgers, and he joins us now on 720 WGN, our sports director, our leader. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, guys?
Doing great, man. This NU basketball stuff is exciting, Dave.
Dave, do you like, first, before we get to NU, do you like my Bulls trade?
You'll have to refresh my memory.
All right, I'm trading Taj.
Which is another way of saying I've been working out and I didn't have a chance to hear.
Are you on the treadmill right now?
No, I'm off. I'm done.
Okay.
What's a Dave Ennett workout?
I was on a treadmill, as a matter of fact.
How long do you do?
Well, this was a condensed one. I was just doing some intervals for, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, yeah, off and on.
It's very impressive.
So watching the Minnesota-Maryland game.
So you sprint for, what, 2 minutes, then you walk for 30, and then you sprint for two?
Sprint and then jog.
Sprint and then jog. How long is the sprint?
Oh, probably 45 seconds.
45 seconds sprint.
Like that.
And then how long is the jog?
Depends how high I crank it up. This is no one cares about this.
Dave, I care.
They don't care how fast I'm going on a treadmill.
I want to be better at life, and I think you've mastered it. So I'm trying to learn. Wisconsin beat Rutgers today, by the way, in overtime, 61-54. Yes. If you're curious,
which was a really entertaining game, not an especially well played game at times, but Wisconsin somehow pulled it out. It looked for all the world like they were going to go down to defeat at Madison Square Garden.
And Maryland beats Minnesota 85-78. So that loss to Minnesota continues to look worse and worse for the Cats. Dave, are you looking at it like that? Are you as paranoid as I am?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's paranoid, but unfortunately for Minnesota, I think you're right that at the time it didn't look that way. Minnesota, I think they're still a pretty good team, but they have not been able to win a game. And you look at the standings now, the two teams which I think shocked everybody at the beginning of the Big Ten season, Nebraska and Minnesota, which got some big wins early, they can't win right now. And I think Minnesota, with the loss, they're 3-5 or 3-6 in the conference down near the bottom of the league. So, yeah, that's suddenly but I think it should be pointed out, Minnesota – again, I thought they played pretty well today, but down the stretch, Maryland was just too tough, hit some big shots, got to the foul line, made their shots, and that's what it takes to win road games in the Big Ten.
Hey, Dave, I know Coach Collins doesn't want to talk about it, but how can you be a Northwestern basketball fan and not think about this? Sure looks like the year they're going to the big dance. Who are the guys, if you haven't been listening to you and Joey, if you haven't been watching Northwestern basketball, who are the guys that have led this team to this wonderful winning streak in this great season?
Well, there is a lot of them, Harry, and I would say this, you're exactly right. If you're a fan of this program, somebody who's followed this program. How can you not be thinking that way? But if you're Chris Collins or his players, how can you be thinking about that now when you've got 10 games to go in the Big Ten? It's just too far down the road and too much can happen. And as Chris has pointed out, last year they got off to a decent start, 3-2 in the Big Ten. They lost 4 or 5 in a row there, and all of a sudden no one's talking about them anymore. And if you look at the games they have coming up, you want to make sure that doesn't happen. But clearly the difference from that team to this team has been the presence of Vic Law and the improvement in Scotty Lindsey's game. I mean, those two guys are they've played as well as any two in the Big Ten this year. And then you factor in the constant play of Bryant McIntosh, whose shooting numbers have been off at times this year, but still distributes the ball, sees the court so well, sets up his teammates for success, and still hits a big shot when they need it. And he's been scoring a little more lately. And then you have a very solid bench, and you have a guy like Derek Parton who can put up 19 and 22. Huh. That's a pretty lethal combination.
I mean, Derek Parton's night, and it's early here. He's only a sophomore, and he didn't play. How many games did he miss last year, Dave? He started playing almost right before the conference season, and then he was hurt this year too. He hasn't played a ton of games. But I look at Derek Parton. My point here is that this guy, he has a chance to play in the NBA, man. I mean, that's a big dude in the middle. He's not super physical, but he's blocking shots. He's getting rebounds. There's a level of talent on that court, Dave, they have not had.
Well, I thought it was funny. Derek got asked after the game the other night, wouldn't you like to be a couple of inches taller? And his response was, well, who wouldn't want to be? But that's the thing. Sometimes he's going against bigger players, but you can't tell. Because he's got that great wingspan. He's got a knack for getting to the ball. There were a couple of shots, and I said this to Chris on the postgame show the other night. I thought some guys took shots because I don't think they were very worried about whether the shot went in or not, because they knew that Derek was going to be there for a tip dunk. And that's kind of the way that second half of that game went against Nebraska the other night. And you're right. I mean, he didn't play. They didn't take his red shirt off him until right before the Big Ten, when both the upper-class centers got hurt. Alex Ola got hurt. You know, they needed to put him in then. And he had that great start at Nebraska, 28-12. And but even last year, if you remember, guys, he was coming off the bench behind right. Alex Ola when Ola did come back. So you're right. He hasn't started that many games. And this year he missed 8 games with a hand injury. And Chris threw him right back into the starting lineup as soon as he was ready to go, and he's been terrific. I think it's interesting that he didn't have a great day in terms of scoring against Ohio State. He missed a lot of shots close in, but he was better with the ball around the basket the other night, and I think that's going to come. I don't think there's anybody who's really worried that he's not going to be a terrific low post scorer, and obviously he's a great rebounder and shot blocker.
Dave, it's been 51 years since the Cats have won 5 in a row in conference, and they have their they've matched the 6-2 record that they last had in 1944.
No, I was not doing the game.
You've been doing it for a while. But the stat that's craziest to me is that the game, it's been 5 years since the game has been sold out prior to game day. And I know that the Hoosiers tomorrow and the Purdue game are both already sold out. Do you, as you walk into the building, I mean, do you feel a difference in the crowd and the atmosphere?
No question. Although I think there were a number of games last year where, and Mark, you're there at the games, there were a number of games last year where I think you could sense that. But I think this year it's been pretty much from the start. Even some of those non-conference games when the students are gone around Thanksgiving or just before Christmas, and you're playing a no-name opponent and people aren't all that fired up normally about them, I think there was a different kind of vibe in the building. And I think this year they've made a quantum leap. And look, they won 20 games last year, which was the most in school history in the regular season. So it's not like they had a bad year last year, but they weren't where they needed to be. And I think if you look at their overall performance this year, and you can look at where they are in terms of the RPI, they've been in the 30s, pretty much all season, the KenPom, all of the measuring sticks that we use in college basketball. Of course, one loss record first and foremost. I think it's pretty safe to say that this team has made a huge jump, and I don't think there's anybody around the Big Ten who looks at them, because everybody sees everybody on tape and everybody sees everybody on video. I don't think there's a coach, even if they haven't faced him yet, who's looking forward to playing this team.
And one thing about the home crowd, I was completely against the Big Ten expansion and adding Rutgers and Maryland and even going back to Nebraska, but it helps basketball out a ton as far as the fandom goes, because they're not coming from Nebraska for hoops. They're not coming from Rutgers. I mean, tomorrow we have the purple.
Well, a lot of red.
There's going to be a ton of red. And when Illinois is here, there's still going to be a ton of orange. I mean, that's still going to be real, but it's diminishing. And I thought that was the way I looked at it, a huge problem with recruiting, because if you're a kid, you want to play home games, and a lot of the games weren't that way, and it's starting to move that way. Dave, how much credit, and Chris deserves a ton of credit, but like just the whole program-wide, the investment in, I mean, now Chris is, you've got a, I forget who he's sponsored by as far as the head coach of, who there's a donation there.
It's an endowed position now.
Right, and you've got a new arena coming. You've got, I mean, there's a lot of money being put into, I mean, Chris deserves a ton of the credit, but world, you know, university-wide, Morty Shapiro, there's been a lot of investment on getting the Cats to the next level.
I think there's been a tremendous commitment. Part of that, and it starts with Morty Shapiro, the university president, and Jim Phillips. And look, Jim's the guy who had to make a very tough decision on Bill Carmody, who was there for 13 years and kept that team competitive. And he got them to the brink. And I remember one Selection Sunday where people were kind of crossing their fingers, even though it didn't look very good. But he got them to consecutive NIT appearances, which at the time, that was a substantial upgrade for Northwestern in terms of getting to the postseason. But Jim had to make a tough call on him, and then he had to make sure he got the right guy, a guy who fit Northwestern. And, you know, he had a great template there in Pat Fitzgerald, and they decided Chris was the guy. And I don't think anybody can look at that and say that he wasn't. He's got a great staff around him with Brian James and Pat Baldwin and Armand Gates. Tremendous coaching staff, and you know, I'm sure some of those, probably a couple of those guys, maybe all of them, are going to be head coaches at some point. And then you look at the support they get from the administration, from marketing, all those things. And upgrading, you know, they didn't do a new arena, but they put in those video boards a couple of years ago,
right?
And it gave the arena a whole different feel. And I can't wait to see what the new Welsh Ryan Arena is going to look like. I mean, it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be state of the art, and it's obviously something that's long overdue. But the good thing is that when they get in there in the fall of 2018, that, you know, clearly they've got a basketball program to match their shiny new building.
I'll tell you, it's really exciting to go to the games, and the drawings look awesome. That for the new stadium,
they
the
do.
Drawings look awesome for
they
that.
Do.
And you know, I'm gonna, even though I live 10 minutes from the stadium now, I'm looking forward to driving out to Rosemont to the Allstate Arena. They've exercised their demons and they're going wild.
All right, Harry, how long were you working on that?
Oh man, like 6.5 hours. I was exhausted. Talk about a workout.
That's good stuff.
But I mean, right now, what's happening in that building? It's so crazy that like media guys could be at the scoring table just cheering for the team.
Well, I don't know anyone. You know, you're not allowed to cheer on Media Row there.
I don't know anybody who would bring that up on the radio and just throw somebody that's like just a great friend of theirs under the bus like that. But that's okay, Harry. Hey, Dave, I love the new arena, but I do want to just throw out there that I'm a little emotional, or a little, it's just the timing of it next year. I mean, the Cats are going to be like a preseason top 25 team coming into next year.
How cool is that?
I mean, that's reality. It's a little too bad that they're not going to get to play at Welsh Ryan next year. Outside of that, it's they absolutely had to do it, and it's fantastic. And hopefully people will come out to Rosemont and see them. But that's
I think they will. I think they will, because I think that they've discovered this year that this is a really good team, and they're going to be good. You look at the guys on this team that, you know, they're going to lose Sanjay Lumpkin and Nathan Taphorn Lumpkin has probably been the unsung hero. You know, he's just a guy who just works so hard, and Taphorn's become a really important role player with this team as a senior. A guy who was originally recruited by Bill Carmody, and then when Chris came in, they were able to keep him aboard, and he's come in, and you know, that's never an easy decision for a kid to make. But you know, everybody else is back next year, and that's the exciting part of it. I mean, Vic Law, the injury last year ends up being a mixed blessing because you got him this year and you got him for two more. So yep. I think it's they'll be really good. And just one other point, I'm not sure that we're going to see the huge amount of red at Welsh Ryan Arena tomorrow night that we've seen in past years when Indiana's come in. I mean, they'll be Indiana fans, no question. And I'm sure you guys heard the news today from the Hoosiers that James Blackman is out indefinitely with a leg injury suffered. Aww. The leading scorer for Indiana. Aww. Which is, you feel bad for the kid, and you feel bad for the program. They've had a slew of injuries, but clearly that adds to an already tough situation for Indiana coming in here tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, what is it? OJ Anunoby.
Yep. Yeah. He's out. Yeah. And then Colin Hartman, he's been out all year. And you look at the guys who they didn't bring back, guys who moved on, from Yogi Ferrell to Troy Johnson. This is a much different Indiana team than the one that won the Big Ten a year ago.
I loved watching Yogi Ferrell play that guy. That kid was good.
You know, I wonder if any Harbaughs would be in the building tomorrow. Yeah.
Say that again?
Any Harbaughs in the building tomorrow?
That's a good question there. Hey, Dave, I know you got to get going. We appreciate you jumping on a Saturday. Thank you, Sports Director.
Got to get back on the treadmill. See you guys.
Thanks, Dave. Terrific.
Dave Bennett, our pregame tomorrow, 5:15, and the tip-off at 5:30 right here, 720 WGN. A question for you, 312-981-7200. Informal poll coming back. I got two tickets for the Bulls tomorrow night and the Sixers. I got two tickets for the Wildcats in Indiana. What are you taking? Two to the Bulls and the Sixers, two to the Wildcats in Indiana. Informal poll, 312-981-7200. Phone line, text line, both available to you, 720 WGN. Apparently, people are misunderstanding my premise here. Dan Long, our producer. What are people thinking I'm saying here, Dan?
They thought that a couple people are thinking you're giving away Bulls tickets.
I said if. This is an if. If, I wish I had them for you. I really do. If I had two tickets to the Bulls and the Sixers tomorrow night, or if I had two tickets to the Wildcats in Indiana, which would you pick? 312-981-7200. It's an if. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I wish I had them.
Which would you rather have?
Yeah. Hey, Tom, which one would you pick, Tom?
I would pick the Wildcats.
Do you normally go to Cats games?
I do not.
Do you normally go to Bulls games?
One a year.
Okay. So now the Bulls ticket in general is probably like five times the value, face value, but you'd take the Wildcat ticket.
Yeah, just obviously a more fun, exciting team.
Right, fair enough.
I mean, but Bulls games are still an event. It is still so cool to go to a Bulls game.
Tom.
It's frustrating that all this off the court drama is happening and that they're missing focus. But it's still really cool to go to a Bulls game. Just right now, the Cats are sitting on the precipice of doing something they've never done before.
312-981-7200 informal poll as we try to help both the Bulls and the Wildcats with their approval rating right now. 847 texting, and definitely the Cats. This is an historic season. Go Cats for my guy Mitch.
Mitch.
Way to go, Mitch. Embiid says going to see 708 says going to see Embiid kick the Bulls' ass. Well said, sir.
Wonder what college Joel Embiid went to.
I'm trying to remember. I think it was somewhere in Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, what did he play? 1 year there?
Hey, KU's gonna rip Kentucky tonight.
How do you feel about Justin Jackson down there, huh?
How about Justin Jackson?
Do I have that? Did I get that name right? I think I did. Going to be a first-round draft pick, one-and-doner.
How about Frank Mason?
Yep. Yeah, people thought that Bill Self couldn't get the one-and-dones, and then Wiggins came there. All right. Hey, Jeff, which one are you going to?
I go see Northwestern.
Look at this. I mean, seriously. The Wildcat. Have you ever been to a Northwestern game, Jeff?
No, I'm from Normal, actually, and went to school at Doug Collins down here, and so I followed Chris's career as a player and as an assistant coach, now head coach, and he's done a great job, and I go out there and support him first and foremost.
Fair enough. You go to Bulls games, Jeff?
No, I've only been to a couple in my life.
Okay.
I always had to sit way up high, so, you know, it's kind of...
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Do you know the year that Michael left, right? The year that everybody left.
Right.
In 1998, the Bulls won their sixth title in 8 years. And then in 1999, the 98-99 season, the Bulls had an awful record. But they led the league in attendance because Bulls games are an event.
Well, tickets were already sold, but yeah.
But people that couldn't go during the Jordan era, they wanted to go, you know, see the game.
One more real quick. Jack, where are you going, Bulls or Cats?
Hi. If it boils down to, do you want to see dogs or cats? I want to see cats right now.
Thanks, Jack. Appreciate you. There you go.
See what Jack did there?
Sam Smith will be at the Bulls game tomorrow night. We're going to talk to him next. 720 WGN.
Chicago sports spoken here.
Where the sports is going on?
This is The Beat.
.507. Hope you're having a great Saturday. He's Harry Tynowitz. I'm Mark Harmon. Dan Long producing. We're about to make history. Not that you haven't been doing radio in this town for over 20 years, Harry, but this is the first Harry's game, I believe, on 720 WGN. Is that right?
Yes. Very excited for it. Very, very excited for it.
You know what I was thinking about today? I actually told my father, Papa Fred, who you actually spoke to today.
I told him the story.
Remember when you had, I believe the show was called Mac Yurko and Harry?
Mac Yurko and Harry.
Yes,
I remember that show.
Yeah.
Who were the guys I was on that with?
Well, you were on with Mac and Yurko, and then you were Harry.
Uh-huh.
So I was recalling at the United Center one night where it was you versus Yurko in a race. Harry was in this huge, clear plastic ball.
Like a hamster ball.
Yeah, and you had to hit the ball and run down the floor. I'm hoping people can visualize this. And Yurko was in one lane, you were in the other lane, and you had to go down and back, down and back. Well, Yurko is a professional athlete. You are not.
I'm a professional non-athlete.
Right, so he's coming back down for the win, and Harry has like been lapped, and he's still going down. So you veered off your course to try to stop him from winning.
Take him out.
And he accelerated at you and cracked you in the next week in front of 20,000 at the United Center. It was hysterical.
I thought it was just up and back. And I thought Yurko was like being a good guy and like not like, you know, killing me. Because obviously he's, you know, still, even though he's, you know, you know, bigger than he was, he's still a monster. I mean, he's strong and he's an athlete. He's strong like Bull. And I thought
I would have beaten him, just for the record.
Sure you would. But he's like within, you know, he needs to be like 80 or 90 for you to beat him. Well, you did beat the 28-year-old Alejandro. So I'm talking
about pure speed race. I mean,
okay.
That's all. Anything else, I would be crumpled. Go ahead.
So first of all, they put us in these balls like 15 minutes before we were supposed to be out there. They said, okay, it'll be like 2 minutes getting the balls, and there's only so much oxygen. So by the time we rolled from under, like by the locker rooms to the floor, I was already out of breath. Okay, I had gone like 50 yards, which is a lot for a Jew. And then we start the race, and Yurko's beating me, but I'm close. And I thought, oh, look how nice he's being. It's just up and back, and he's keeping it close. And then we finally go up, and we go back, and he goes, okay, one more. And then he starts opening up on me.
Oh, was he opened?
Yeah. So then I veered off and I tried to like cut him off, but he put me in the 200 level.
I mean, it was honestly, that was like, that's top 10 thing that's happened at the United Center in the last 15 years.
Yeah. That just made the folks at that station think of more things they could do to me promotion wise.
Why don't you
get on a horse? Yeah. They wanted me to skydive without a parachute.
Did you? All right. I'm sorry. We got people on hold who want to play Harry's game. Why don't you explain the game? 312-981-7200. the okay, we're giving away Lou Malnati's pizza.
Yummy. Dan, love Lou Mal.
Dan Long, would you like to do the Lou Malnati's read? I know you're very good at this.
Yeah, how about a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's, the home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza? Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com.
So we're giving that away, 312-981-7200. Tell them the game, Harry.
All right, so because Bobby Portis and Denzel Valentine are going to play for the Bulls D-League team, the Windy City Bulls, we're going to play the D-League team game.
You don't need to know players, just need to know team. Don't freak out.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to give we'll get callers on one at a time. I'm going to give you the NBA team, and I'll give you three options for what they call their D-League team. And if you can get two in a row correct, you will win.
Two in a row?
Yes, two in a row correct. You will win delicious Lou Malnati's pizza.
Do you want to demo this with me?
Well, I'm just saying, like, do you know, for example, what the Iowa team name is?
I do know the Iowa team.
What is it?
They are the Iowa Energy.
They are the Iowa Energy. I'm very impressed. Do you know any other team names?
I know the Windy City Bulls.
Yes, the Windy City Bulls. How about, you know, Greensboro?
Greensboro, North Carolina?
Yes.
Greensboro, North Carolina. They're the Greensboro Gadgets.
They're the Greensboro Clan.
Okay.
No, that would be terrible, wouldn't it? They're the Greensboro Swarm. Just wanted to see if you were paying attention.
Okay, the Greensboro Swarm.
The Greensboro Swarm.
Okay.
So, you know, it's kind of you know, fun. But some of these are.
Are you going to give multiple choice? City.
Yeah. So we'll get them up here.
All right.
And you'll introduce them, and then I'll give them three choices, and they'll tell me which is the actual D League team name.
Oh, okay. So two in a row. We're going to give you three choices. 312-981-7200. By the way, feel free to text in. Is Harry's games better or are my games better?
Why do you have to go there?
I'm about competition. I know it's wrong, but I like to compete. That's why I love Michael, amongst other things. Hey, Mike, welcome.
I love it when you compare yourself to Michael.
Mike, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, Mike.
All right, Mike, so you understand the concept of the game. I'm going to give you three team names. One is actually the D-League team of the NBA team. If you get it right twice in a row, you win delicious Lou Malnati's pizza. You ready, Mike?
I can't get one in a row.
Okay, it's no attitude, not with that attitude.
Mike, he's going to give you had a one-in-three shot.
All right, Mike.
I believe that's 33.33%.
Mike, the Spurs. The Spurs have their D-League team nearby San Antonio in Austin. Are they the Austin City Limits, the Austin Powers, or the Austin Spurs?
Are you serious?
Yep.
They used to be the Austin Toros.
Well, they're not anymore.
Apparently not anymore. I knew somebody who worked for the Toros.
All right, so
go ahead,
Mike. I'll give them to you one more time. The Austin City Limits, the Austin Powers, or the Austin Spurs?
They must be the Spurs.
They are the Spurs.
Wow.
You're halfway there. You're
Mike,
halfway
look
there.
At you, dogging yourself and now halfway home.
All right, here we go. Let me give you, please.
Hang on a second. All of Chicago is on the edge of their seat right now waiting to see if Mike wins. This is fantastic. I like your game right now. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, this would be the Fort Wayne Pacers, obviously, are the Fort Wayne developmental team is for the Indiana Pacers. Are they the Fort Wayne Racers, the Fort Wayne Mad Ants, or the Fort Wayne Gretzky's? Fort Wayne Racers.
I almost tried out for this team. I know the answer.
Fort Wayne Mad Ants or the Fort Wayne Gretzky's?
The Mad Ants.
Been in it. Good
you
job,
are correct.
Mike.
We've got a winner already.
There
look at that.
All right, Mike. Congratulations. You doubted yourself. Where else do you doubt yourself in your life, Mike?
The other NBA leagues.
Okay. Hang on, Mike. Appreciate you. Think deeply about that question. I just gave you a nice runway into where you can think that you doubt yourself. And actually, if you didn't doubt yourself, you could open up that highway. And next thing you know, you're flying down that highway and you're hitting on levels that you never thought possible. You're making more money.
You're doing a Stuart Smalley type thing here.
Yes, you are. You're big enough. You're good enough. You're smart enough. All that. Exactly right. Let's get Ron in here as we're building a bridge to a better something. Ron, welcome to WGN. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're great, Ron. Thanks.
We're good. Are you ready, Ron?
I'm going to try, Harry. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. We're looking for the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. They play in Long Island. What is their developmental league team name? Is it the Long Island Ducks, the Long Island Gilligans, or the Long Island Nets?
Are you cheating, by the way, Ron? You better not have your internet open.
Hey, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Oh, wow.
Long Island Ducks, Long Island Gilligans, Long Island Nets.
I know it's not Gilligan, so let's go Nets.
It is the Long Island Nets.
It's like the easiest game that's ever been invented. But okay, congratulations, Ron, one more time.
All right, the Cavs, the Cleveland Cavs, had their team in Canton. Are they the Canton Charge, the Canton Foils, or the Canton Fame?
And or the Canton LeBrons.
They should be.
Throw that in there, too.
Believe it or not, I know this one because my kid was watching the NBA, and they were having LeBron, and they were talking about Canton, and it's the Charge. I knew that one.
Look at this, Canton, man. Charge. The whole world knows developmental league.
All right. Ron, congratulations. We're going to run out of prizes.
I blame myself.
Good job, Ron.
Thank you, guys.
You want to do one more?
We can do one more.
Dan, we're going to run out of prizes? What's going to happen here? Is this station going to burn down if we give away one more prize? Because, no one's going to not get this game right.
Yeah. I mean, I can imagine that we could find a third Lou Malnati's card somewhere in the building.
Right. I mean, if I have to donate it from my own collection, I'll do it.
Yeah, you do have a pretty sizable collection of those.
Yeah, I found, three of them on my desk the other day. Thank you, Mindy Kaplan. Jim, this is the easiest game in the history of radio. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Well, I'm not cheating, so we'll find out.
All right. Good for you, Jim. Way to have integrity.
All right, the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets, their team is in Rio Grande Valley. So are they the Rio Grande Valley? You get three choices. Tell me which one it is. They're the Rio Grande Valley Cats, the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, or the Rio Grande Valley Red Glare?
I'm going to say Vipers.
Look at that.
I
correct.
I know. Everything's correct. It's the easiest game ever. No one has ever had more success in giving away prizes. Way to go, Jim. One more. Let's see how good you are.
I would have guessed you Austin Powers, by the way, so I would have been wrong there.
Okay.
That's all right. That's okay. All right, got one more. Let's get it right. This is the Celtics. The Celtics have their developmental league team in Maine. Are they the Maine Men, the Maine Courses, or the Maine Red Claws?
Is this a joke?
The Maine Men, the Maine Courses, or the Maine Red Claws?
I'm going to have to go Red Claws.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Who in the world would name their team the Maine Men?
Come on, the Maine Men. Like an Animal House.
It's like Harry joke here, Harry joke there, and the real team. Look, Austin Powers.
Do you know how many baseball minor league team names are jokes?
Congratulations, Jim.
Yay, everybody won Lou Mal.
Aren't you glad you called?
Yes, indeed.
Jim, what's your favorite sports show?
My favorite sports show has to be on WGN.
That's what I'm talking about. There you go, Jim. It's called The Beat. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
I almost said the game, but that would have been
moment of silence for the game.
Hey, RIP. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
All right.
That was unbelievable.
I should have just tested you.
Which is the name of Northwestern University? Is it the Northwestern Southwests, the Northwestern Due Norths, or the Northwestern Wildcats? I think I'm going to go with Wildcats.
It sounded better in my head.
We're going to play the What Harry Met Sally game. Who did Harry meet? Was it Sally? Was it
Yvonne?
Or was it Botswana? I'm going to go with Sally. But I like that you want to give things away, Harry. That's nice. And we have three winners, 3 for 3. Uh-huh. And, you know, Mark Grace used to go 3 for 3, and he's one of your favorite Cubs.
Yes, and then he would go to the ballpark after going 3 for 3.
he was successful in all aspects of his life.
Well, I blame myself.
All right, tribute to one of the greatest players to ever wear it would not be called a jersey. So we're stepping out of my favorite comfort zone. But a guy that I have tremendous respect for, and I think one of Harry's maybe top five favorite athletes in the history of the city. We'll do that next, 720 WGN.
Here comes Glenn Anderson. His pass knocked down by Savard. Skates through center, ragging the puck. Savard still has it around Tegan. Around Lowe, shoot, scores! What a goal by Dennis Savard!
720 WGN, Savoir Fair. Where does he rank in your all-time favorite Blackhawks, Harry Carey? Harry Carey. Jeez Louise. I was out at I was with Grant DePorter, CEO Harry Carey's recently.
How is Grant?
Grant is great. He let me touch the Chris Bryant $35,000 Game 7 worn cleats. So that was awesome. Thank you to Grant.
That's very cool. I've always liked Grant. I would say Dennis Savard is one of my five favorite Hawks of all time.
Let's hear him.
He is so great. Well, Keith Magnuson, Tony Esposito, Dennis Savard, Bernie Nichols. Okay,
that's your guy.
Bernie Nichols, and ready for this one, Eric Weinrich.
Oh my God! What, do you come on the radio all the time?
Eric Weinrich was a defenseman's defenseman. The guy broke his orbital bone. They told him not to play for like a month, and he played the next day with a little tiny shield, a little plexiglass thing. But Dennis Savard was. You know, Bobby Hull had the slap shot. Bobby, you know, it'd be foolish to say anybody was more exciting than Bobby Hull. But when Dennis Savard picked up the puck in his own end, I mean, everybody your heart jumped to your throat because, like, oh my God, how exciting is this? He could go from one end of the ice to the other end and just go between five guys and score. And the spinorama was, you know, often imitated, never duplicated. Danny Savard was, you know, a stud.
The reason why we're bringing this up, as the Blackhawks won't be back on the ice until next Tuesday at San Jose, the NHL, and its All-Star break, you've got 10 Hawks named in the top 100 NHL players of all time. It was voted on by a panel of 58 owners, executives, general managers, coaches, players, broadcasters, and writers. Were you amongst the crew voting, Harry? Obviously not, because we would have had 95 Hawks.
No, I got to vote for the SAG Awards, but I did not get to vote for the top 100 hockey players of all time.
All right, do you know the 10?
I do know the 10.
Okay, 70 years. That was the from what was the center from 1940 through 47? That's on that.
Max Bentley.
Very good. And then who from the current team is on there?
From the current team, well, you got Patrick Kane.
Yep.
You got Jonathan Toews.
Yep.
And this is the one that surprised me. You got Tanner Carroll.
Tanner Carroll did not make that list.
Oh, well, he will. No, you have Duncan Keith.
Very good. By the way, this is I did not tell Harry that we were doing this. This is unprompted. Just Harry Tynewitz hockey knowledge coming right at you. Who are the goalies that made it?
The goalies that made it are Tony Esposito, and he's got the most wins in the history of the Blackhawks. It's not even close.
Yep.
And Glenn Hall.
That's right.
You know, another guy that made it was obviously 21, Stan Mikita. And Mikita played 22 years in the NHL, all of them for the Blackhawks. I don't know if anyone will ever do that again, play 22 years for the same team. But the Glenn Hall record will never be broken. A goalie who played 502 straight games.
That is unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
Well,
That's every game for now. It'll be like every game for four seasons.
Some old school right there. You mentioned Mikita. Who were the other two forwards? Although we just were talking about one of them.
The Golden Jet.
Right.
The Golden Jet, Bobby Hull, was just a, the greatest slap shot. He played the same time as Gordie Howe. You know, so there were two great number nines, but the Golden Jet had the scariest slap shot ever.
And we mentioned Dennis Savard, so that leaves one more defenseman.
That would be Chelly.
That's correct.
Chris Chelios, who I remember when about 20 years ago, Comcast played around with technology to let the fans see the puck easier. Remember the blue puck?
I do. I thought that was actually kind of nice.
Yeah, it was right when I started dating my wife, so there was still physical contact, and she had trouble seeing the puck. But because they had this technology that, you know, you could just look for the blue light, it was so much easier to follow the puck. Although Hawks fans didn't need it because the puck was always on Chelios' stick.
There we go. There we go. Do you know what other legends were in the top 100 that had a cup of coffee in Chicago?
Paul Coffey.
There's one.
Look at you. That's a John Stockton assist.
This guy, the other two, one of them played the majority of his career in Boston.
Phil Esposito.
That would be incorrect.
Phil Esposito was a Blackhawk. So if you're asking me guys that were...
But he's not in the top 100, I don't believe.
Phil Esposito is.
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah.
My bad, then. My bad.
It's okay.
Not listed here. Bobby Orr.
Oh, Bobby Orr. God, he came to the Hawks, he had one leg.
What? I don't remember Bobby Orr playing. What year was that?
The 70s.
Okay.
He came like late. Bobby Orr, when you're talking about the greatest hockey player of all time, the only other guy you could really put in the conversation, I think, besides Wayne Gretzky and Gordie Howe, the only other guy you could put in that conversation would be Bobby Orr. Bobby Orr's injury killed his career. He should have played much longer. But Bobby Orr was like the greatest defenseman, and he could do amazing things on the ice. And he beat the Blues in the Stanley Cup. Famous picture of him flying through the air.
Yep. Do you remember who was a Blackhawk backup goalie in 1990?
Dominic Hasek.
That's right. That's right.
Mike Keenan wanted to keep Hasek. He wanted to trade Eddie Belfour and keep Hasek. And, Hasek won. He's the only goalie to ever win the Hart Trophy twice, MVP of the league. And I believe he won 6 Vezina trophies.
That's I had forgotten about that whole scene, too. I love Mike Keenan. That was entertaining. By the way, so a couple people texting in on your game. Harry, who's buried in Grant's tomb?
I deserve it.
All right, quick timeout. Get you into news. And then coming up after 5:30, we have a very, very important question for you and a tribute to a Blackhawk who's making a major move. 720 WGN. I want to bring somebody to the airwaves.
Yes, sir.
I want to share my life with you.
Excellent.
I have instituted the push-up challenge, Harry.
Is that like the ice bucket challenge or the mannequin challenge?
Not exactly the same, no. But I got a group of people. We're all trying to take that next step.
Uh-huh.
So I said, let's throw some physical fitness in there. I want to get as strong as Dan Long. How many push-ups do you think you could do right now, Dan? Let's go.
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not at my peak. I was under the weather this week, so I was not able to get out to the gym.
Mm-hmm. Dan Long is a very physical man. He's a strong man.
Mm-hmm.
I just ripped off 28, Dan. You think you could do 28?
I could probably snap off 28.
Yeah.
You did 28 because that's the date?
Well, I started with 25, and I said I'm going to build at least one more every day. So all the way shooting for to get to, I don't know. I haven't set that number.
I'll tell you what. Next week, February 3rd, I will do 3.
All right.
I am so in on the push-up challenge.
Just know that when you follow me on Twitter, at the Carm, you start throwing numbers out there. 28. Hashtag push-ups. The push-up challenge. I want it to sweep the nation, Harry. Push-up challenge.
And it should sweep the nation. That's That's strong.
All right, more important, let's get on track here. So 1 week from today, mm-hmm. they're going to be kicking off Super Bowl 51 in Houston.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. I'm sorry, it felt like a Sunday out of nowhere. Okay.
Because that's your normal day you do push-ups.
Yes, exactly. So it's Harry today came in You're wearing a New England Patriot hoodie, which is offensive.
It's a throwback New England Patriots hoodie.
It's a great looking sweatshirt.
Right. And my wife gave this to me. She knows I love throwbacks. So I have several like throwback things. I want Atlanta to win that game so badly.
Okay.
I want the ATL to be celebrating a Super Bowl. But this is just, you know, I have a Drew Bledsoe jersey in my jersey closet, and I thought about wearing that, but then I thought, you know, it's going to be cold. Go for the Patriots hoodie. So I love the throwback part of it.
It's a nice hoodie.
We should take a picture and tweet it.
We can do that. We'll tweet it out at HeyTweetHarry, at the Carm. The point being here is as we try to, you know, we got the Pro Bowl tomorrow, which no one's going to watch. Actually, some people do watch the Pro Bowl. But, I mean, tomorrow night you've got Wildcats and Hoosiers at Indiana, which is where you should be. And then there's also Bulls and Sixers going.
And guess who will be guesting with Jared Payton and Josh Friedman on CLTV's sports feed at 6 o'clock?
Well, now you got to put that on. There's no doubt. You're in there tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Congratulations. That's awesome. So a lot going on. But next Sunday, there will be nothing going on. Where are you watching the Super Bowl?
I will be at my house with my kids because it's the only football game they'll watch all year. They love the commercials. They love the halftime show. They love the prop bets. They just think the football game gets in the way.
We're going to do some prop bets coming up here in about 5 minutes or so. But you got Brady going for number 5.
Which is unbelievable. It would be the most ever.
And then you've got Matt Ryan in Atlanta going for number 1. The Falcons have never won it.
Right, only even played in one.
You've got a phenomenal, I mean, I think Matt Ryan's been the MVP.
I agree.
Okay. Neither team.
You still out of breath, by the way?
A little bit. Right. No doubt.
So am I.
I'm settling down, though. Neither team.
I dropped my pencil. I had to pick it up.
neither team is particularly skilled on the defensive side of the ball.
They're both better than they were, though.
Okay.
Vic Beasley's a monster, Mark.
All right. Okay. We should see a high-scoring game, correct?
Agreed. 58? I mean, the over-under is 58? Right. I would go over.
Okay. So, from that standpoint, it'll be entertaining. And I love the Super Bowl for what's around the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the commercials is better than the game for me.
They are better. I wouldn't say they're better. They're going to be good. The Super Bowl could be anything. Super Bowl could be a barn burner, or oftentimes they're blowouts. But the commercials will always be good.
And I love a little halftime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Madonna was my favorite of all time.
What? I believe you're forgetting about Bruce.
No. Madonna's, I mean, come on. It's Madonna.
Yeah. I was at her press conference when she did the Super Bowl.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm. And Lady Gaga tomorrow, next Sunday.
Right. I mean, Gaga wants to, like, she wants to come off the roof, which is amazing.
I have no doubt she's been that high before.
Nothing wrong with the lady as long as, you know, she's keeping her Gaga under control. I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and she's doing the entire show by herself. I like the spotlight on one person rather than a gazillion dancers out there. What? A la, you know, say Janet Jackson back in the day, which that was great too, by the way.
That was great. That stunk. That changed the way we did radio in this town. We got a memo. After Janet Jackson had the wardrobe malfunction, we got a memo that you can't say ASS anymore.
Ooh.
You know, I'd say, oh, if the Bears want to win, they got to find a way to put Aaron Rodgers on his wallet. That's not as, you know, impactful, as effective. Doesn't sound as cool as put him on his arse.
I'm with upper management there. There's more creative ways to say these things. I think that was good. Who would have thought wallet? You came up with something good. You showed your creativity.
Uh-huh.
That makes you a better broadcaster.
I like being able to say the short word.
Okay.
But, you know, that when the Red Hot Chili Peppers did the Super Bowl halftime show, I'm trying to think who it was. Bruno Mars was great when he did it. But Chili Peppers might have, you know, did like a cameo with Bruno Mars. And they were lip syncing, right? They didn't plug in their instruments.
Right.
I like the Chili Peppers a lot, but that was disappointing.
That's an NFL mandate, though, isn't it?
To guarantee, like, no profanity?
I think just to guarantee, like,
quality control of the performance. I think I remember reading it was a mandate by the league that...
Bruce, so you told me that Bruce Springsteen wasn't live?
Yeah, I don't think any of those are live.
No, he's late. No, that can't be right.
That can't be true. Bruno Mars was live, Dan.
Yeah, Bruce was live. Bruno looks so cool. I want one of those gold lamé suits.
Am I forgetting his
It might just be instrumental tracks. The Vokes might be live, but let me double check.
Okay, all right. Please. I could be wrong.
Has Mick done a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah, the Stones did one.
Okay, I forgot about
that. The NFL went back and they got the, you know, they believe the Who? They got like, Paul McCartney did one. Paul McCartney did the Eagles-Patriots, where the Eagles covered. They lost the game, but the Eagles covered. But they've had a lot of the older bands, you know, like in the last 10, 15 years.
All right. I'm a big fan. The reason bringing this up, for one, we have some prop bets coming up for you. But the other part is, like, I'm a big fan of the old informal WGN radio poll, because I believe you, the 720 WGN listener, is more representative of the world that we live in than any other radio station. This is the heart and soul of the city, and this city is the heart and soul of this country. Mm-hmm. So when we throw out an informal poll, and I ask you, who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl? I think it'll further, I would just like to cement it, that everybody is rooting for the Falcons. 312-981-7200.
Right. People in Boston
and nowhere else are
the only ones.
Like, I'm not even mad about Tony Eason and the 85-86 New England Patriots, 46-10.
Yeah, you know,
I've never been more confident in a sporting event outcome ever.
You know, Tom Thayer still takes responsibility for it, which was wrong. He said he bumped into Walter, causing the fumble. But Steve McMichael told me if the Bears didn't fumble on the second play of the game and New England got that gimme field goal, that they would have never come out. The defense would have never come out. They would have never let
them shut him out.
Backups. It would have been the only shutout in Super Bowl history.
If Mongo said it, I'm going to believe it.
Yeah, and that's when the Patriots had the throwback. Yeah. You know, that I'm wearing now. You know what's neat about this New England Patriots throwback sweatshirt, by the way?
What's neat about it, Harry?
Well, like, you and Dan Long today both said, cool Patriots throwback hoodie. And at my meeting this morning, guys were saying, cool Sam Adams hoodie.
Well, there you go.
Different perspective.
Little different perspective. Good job by you going to the meeting this morning. Congratulations. Way to stay on track.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Taxi driver Bob, one of our regulars, always about this time, too. You out and about, taxi driver?
Yeah, just about to pick up some bagels over at New York Bagel and Bialy over here. Hey, Harry, shalom to you, brother.
Shalom. I was at New York Bagels and Bialy yesterday.
You had the one on Tui there, taxi driver?
Yeah, getting some lox cream cheese. You can't beat it, bro.
That's good. I was at the Dempster one.
They do a good tune over there, taxi driver.
Oh, they do. After I saw the first game that the Falcons played in the playoffs, they've got such a dynamic offense, and their defense is very capable of limiting the output of the Patriots. And enough with the Patriots, man. I mean, you know, Brady, you know, he gets all the broads all the time, and you know, I mean, it's just that, you know, come on, you gotta go for the underdog here. Yeah. You know, I mean,
thank you, taxi driver.
I'm with you, taxi driver Bob. You know, he doesn't get all the broads, but the one he's got ain't too bad. When your broad is, you know, the spectacle of the Olympics, that's not too shabby. Here's what's weird. I've always had like a chip on my shoulder towards the New York teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never liked the Knicks, okay? And then they were like one of the two teams that used to try to take away the Bulls championships, Pistons and the Knicks. I never liked the Mets. Because what they did to the Cubs in 69, the Yankees, you know, they bought championships. But when the Patriots played the Giants in the Super Bowl twice, mm-hmm. it felt like the Patriots were so arrogant and pompous that they were the New York team. And I found myself rooting hard for the Giants.
Well, they are convicted cheaters,
mm-hmm.
have been caught multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick cheat. Let's call it as it is. I mean, let's call it as it is here. Don't tell me that you can say all you want about how it really doesn't matter, Deflategate, the ball, this pressure. That's fine. He still cheated. And they were all in on it. And videotaping other teams.
Right.
$500,000 fine. All in on it. I guess I supposedly will find it moderately interesting if Roger Goodell is on the podium with Mr. Kraft and heading good old. Right. Here you go. Here's your trophy. Yeah, we did suspend Tom Brady for 4 games this year. And we kind of, deep down, were perhaps hoping you wouldn't be sitting in this position, even though we're going to play nice right now. Malcolm Butler is a very interesting matchup in the Super Bowl with Julio Jones. So that's one thing to look at if you're a football guru.
He's already been a Super Bowl hero once.
That's true. With the breakup against...
the interception against the Seahawks.
Right, against Seattle.
I'm sorry, yeah, against Yale.
Yeah, with, what was it, 3 seconds to go?
Yeah, 1 yard line. You got Marshawn Lynch. You got Marshawn Lynch, one of the best, you know, running backs in football that year. And instead of feeding the beast, they threw the ball.
Yep.
Butler stepped in front of it.
That's one thing to look at as we give you a little bit of Super Bowl 51. All right, we got prop bets coming back here.
That'll be fun.
And Harry's got a special angle on this as well. 720 WGN. .553/720 WGN, trying to make you some money for your Super Bowl. USA Today has all 400 prop bets out there for you if you want to do a little Google search. We'll give you some of them. Here, do you think there's going to be a missed extra point in the game, Harry?
No.
Okay. It's -400 if you want to say no. Why not if you're just a gambling degenerate and you're risking to lose it all and go to the... Just throw a huge amount of money on that and change your life. And if it goes the way that you lose all your dough, well then, then you can just, I don't know, leave the country or something.
leave the country. It's the year of the missed extra point. So why not take a shot at it? 60% of the money wagered on the Super Bowl is wagered on prop bets. And the over-under is now 59, which is the highest over-under in the history of the Super Bowl. All right, here's one that I like. Luke Bryan is going to sing the national anthem. Will Luke Bryan be wearing blue jeans when he sings the national anthem?
Right. See, now those I don't get because it's so easily fixable. He knows that bet's out there. He tells his buddy, I'm going to wear jeans.
He's a millionaire. He doesn't need it to fix a Super Bowl
bet. Know what millionaires like?
Money.
More millions.
He's a country singer. Of course he's going to wear blue
How
jeans.
Does this stuff not get fixed? What color Gatorade? Hey, we're going to make the Gatorade red. I don't get it. They're so easily fixable.
And some of them are like, you know, they seem like no-brainers. Will Matty Ice be said on TV over or under 2 times? I mean, they're on TV for like, 8 hours. Of course it'll go over.
That's the other side.
Over 2 times.
That's the other side. A, who's broadcasting the game, Fox?
I believe it is Fox, yes.
So, hey, Joe Buck, Matty Ice, it's 2 times. I got you. I'll say it 5 times. And then you're a rich man. How does this not happen? It's had to have happened. People have, at some point, someone's going to get caught doing this stuff.
Yeah,
maybe you don't want to risk your entire career on some prop bet. I get it. Everything gets out. But
I don't see it. I mean, Lady Gaga, okay, you can make Lady Gaga bets. Okay, what's the first song Lady Gaga is going to play during her halftime show?
Exactly. Tell me that Gaga doesn't have any friends. Like, hey, this is, the first song is going to be this. Don't tell anyone. Go bet it. I'll split it with you.
Lady Gaga's not doing that. She's an artist.
Why not? Because what does she have to lose?
The reason she's great is because she's an artist. She doesn't care about the money.
Oh, come on. Everyone cares about the money.
Here's what I will, there's some cool bets here. Will there be a flea flicker attempted?
Well, there you go. Okay. That's another one. Hey, Bill Belichick. Yes, we're going to do a flea flicker. Bet it.
I mean, both teams do trick plays, and it's 5-1, that there will be a flea flicker, and if you say no, there won't be, it's 1-9. So, I mean, that's insane. You bet yes. I mean, I think that's the bet. My
Dan Quinn, hello. Are you guys going to do a flea flicker? Yes, we will in the second quarter. Bet it. I mean, come on.
You can bet, like, who's the first player to score a touchdown.
Now, see, that is, you can't control that, but there are certain things you can absolutely control. I don't get it. Since when do we trust anybody to do anything above board?
Okay, here's what I like is when they take one sport and they bring it into the Super Bowl. Like, for example, LeBron. Will LeBron score against the Knicks more than 3.5 points than Atlanta scores?
Okay.
So Atlanta, you know, they're averaging 34 points a game. Will LeBron have 37? Or do you think New England can hold Atlanta? See, I would say no. I would say LeBron will not score more than 3.5.
I would agree with you. I would agree.
Okay. Here's one. Russell Westbrook's Mr. Triple-Double, right?
Uh-huh.
Russell Westbrook's combined points, rebounds, assists against Blazers and Patriots' total score.
Like, who comes up with that? That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
It is. It absolutely is. All right. I think a lot of people are cheating on the Super Bowl. And I don't want to be a non-integrity person here. But I wouldn't. It's good that I don't get that information. Let's just put it that way. I'd be very tempted. I'd rather not be tempted. How's that? If I knew the equipment manager, what Gatorade is it going to be, dude?
The one prop bet I'll encourage people to play, and we don't want to advocate gambling, but it's American, it's the Super Bowl. When the 49ers crushed the Chargers,
uh-huh.
I had a bet last team to score. So everybody else at the Super Bowl party was bored out of their gourd, and I was still watching the game.
Good strategy.
Right. And San Diego was the last. Alfred Poopoo Platter. The tight end got the touchdown. So even though San Diego got crushed by 26 points, I won my wager.
Congratulations. Go gambling. All right. There was a baseball team in town that was busy this weekend. They had this thing called Sox Fest. There is some news around the White Sox. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
News from Sox Fest, and there's also news from the Bulls. Very interesting.
Tell me.
Well, first of all, let's start with very tempting here, but let's start with the White Sox because it's Sox Fest this weekend. Number one, Ken Hawk Harrelson. How do you think he feels about the rebuild, Harry?
Oh, Hawk, he's gotta be excited.
Hawk is feeling it.
Oh, I wish I could cuss.
He says, you look at some of these guys here, there's a ton of talent. They're not all going to make it. It's going to be fun watching the ones who do.
Chopper, Two-Hopper.
I'm excited. Last couple of years, let's face it, was not fun going to the ballpark. So Hawk, Chris Sale, best pitcher in the game, all that type of stuff. Hawk Harrelson wants to be broadcasting White Sox games for another 4 years.
God bless him.
Right?
God bless him. I know Jason.
He's 75 years old right now.
Jason Benetti won't be too happy about that, but that's, you know what? That's great. Of course, he's only doing road games now.
I mean, is there any more popular White Sox right now than Hawk Harrelson? I know that people don't love Hawk the way I love Hawk, and I'm not even a White Sox guy, but I love Hawk. I don't care how ridiculous he is. I don't care if he says nothing. He's entertaining to me.
I'll tell you what. Hawk's lovable. The White Sox hit a home run with Jason Benetti, and the Steve Stone Jason Benetti broadcast is fantastic. And I'm a big fan of Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson. But you know, Hawk, for people that don't like Hawk, it's your opinion, so it's not right or wrong. But I embrace Hawk, and you know, it's like Brent Musburger. Just up and retired out of the blue. So appreciate.
Right.
Brent's going to go work for like the gambling network in Vegas, whatever. But appreciate Hawk while you still have him. That's good. That's good news.
Hang on a second. Getting a call from.
From Hawk?
Not from Hawk. From the great people at Muller Honda, who I got to hang out with today. Can't talk to you right now. Love you. Thank you for all your assistance.
Did you get yourself an Accord?
I'm in a very deep consideration of upgrading the vehicle.
Oh, I think you should.
And we appreciate Muller Honda's support on Hamp and OB with Kaz and the tightness that Ed Obradovich has with Mike Mueller. I got to meet the man, Mike Mueller, himself today.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you got to meet Obradovich.
No, well, I've met OB a couple times. One more Hawk comment.
Yes.
Love to see young talent because there's an innocence there. These guys are busting their
humps.
Right. They're not talking to agents about extending a contract, about how much money they're going to be making, trying to make it to the big leagues. I go to high school games. It's pure baseball. No politics, no BS, no money. Pure baseball. Hawk.
What Rickon?
I love Hawk.
What Rickon did was spectacular. They went from one of the five worst farm systems to one of the five best farm systems. Rickon made some major moves. I mean, he was the hero of the winter meetings. And by the way, they're going to have a special Hawk giveaway.
They're going to have a special
Hawk bobblehead.
Yeah. Here, Dan Long, you got a Hawk cut? Oh, let's hear some Hawk. I love Hawk.
I told him, I said, you know, he asked me something about going on and everything. I said, Jerry, up until we had the grandkids, I was thinking about maybe hanging it up, you know, in a couple of years. But since the grandkids have come now, one's five, one's three, I want to die in the seat. Oh. I want to die right here. Here's a pitch.
Hope not.
He's been saying that for a while now. He wants to die in the booth.
Wow. And Chip Carey did. Kidding!
I that'd be like, if you could still broadcast, and you know, Harry still had the job when he passed away in the offseason. He was coming back for another year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone ever actually died on the air? Has that ever happened? I don't think it has. But that would be unbelievable. Back. He go. Done.
When I did stand-up, I died on stage a couple times.
I bet you did.
Uh-huh, thanks.
It's a tough gig.
Remember when Hawk went off on Mark Wegner, the umpire?
I love the Wegner rant.
Come on, Wegner!
Yeah, maybe we can find that one.
Come on, Wegner.
I mean, right now, with the White Sox rebuilding, you need Hawk. He's got to be there for you.
You need Hawk on that wall.
No disrespect.
You want Hawk on that
you
wall.
You do. Jose Quintana, speaking at White Sox Fest, talking about how he doesn't want to get traded. Jose, yes, you do. Yes, you do.
The by the way, Quintana's only 28. He would bring a lot back. The Hawk Harrelson like bobblehead giveaway,
yeah.
You push its tummy and it says Hawkisms in Hawk's voice. How great is that?
That is fantastic.
Right.
You can just press it and there it is for you.
Mm-hmm.
My man. And he hates the Cubs. I think that's incredibly obvious.
Right.
But one of my favorite calls of his, Cubs back in, it was either 07 or 08, they load the bases in the first inning. Aramis Ramirez hits a grand slam. There is no words at all. Nothing. And finally, after like 30 seconds, he's like, 4-0 Cubs. Which, I mean, what more do you need? You saw it. You're watching TV. It's not a simulcast.
Yeah, well,
4-0 Cubs.
By the way, I have a cool Cub thing to tell you about.
Oh, really?
Yes, I can. I
do
can,
have to wait.
Well, I can tell you later. I know you got like pockets full of show over there.
Yeah, well, we got stuff going on here. All right, you want to hit the Bulls news? It's very interesting. Mm-hmm. Nick Friedel does a great job covering the Bulls.
The best. Nick Friedel.
I love the guys covering the Bulls. Casey Johnson's fantastic. But
I starred at Evanston High School. Casey Johnson took his team to state championship.
And that's right. And Joel Colley stirring it up, too.
To play in the state championship, I should say.
So practice today. Apparently, the young Bulls who were on attack this week from Dwayne Wade, we're going to hear from D. Wade in a second here, they complained in the meeting yesterday that they want to see Dwayne Wade on the practice floor more. Taj Gibson speaking about it. Quote, that's one of the things in the meeting. Young guys just want a little bit more from him, Gibson said. And today, apparently at practice, D. Wade, quote unquote, according to Gibson, brung it today, pushed the young guys, and that's a sign that the meeting did a little something. It's all, and then he continues on. It's all about positive. We're not trying to have any negative aspects, anything like that. We got everybody against us right now. The only people who are going to help us out of this is ourselves, and we understand that. And Executive Vice President John Paxson said that in the meeting yesterday too.
All right, that's really stupid. That's really stupid. Okay, Dwayne Wade is a multiple world champion, and he won a championship before LeBron ever got to South Beach. Dwayne Wade has played so many games in the NBA, like the way Greg Popovich gave his veterans games off, that's what they're doing with Dwayne Wade. He doesn't need to practice. Aaron Rodgers was so hurt this year that they would give him weeks where he didn't practice, and he would show up on Sunday and be spectacular. That is so dumb to get pissy that he called you out, so you're going to say, well, we're going to call him out. He should be in practice. Come on.
They want D-Wade.
Stop it.
They want D-Wade. Oh, Terry, getting upset.
Well, it's just not smart. This is the kind of thing that you got to squash.
Well, right.
You can control this.
He's 35 years old. This was, by the way, D-Wade earlier in the week talking about caring. You got to care enough, D-Wade.
You know, you will continue to be in these kind of situations and lose games like this, you know, when everyone don't care enough. You got to care enough, man. You know, you got to mean that much to you to want to win, and it doesn't. So, I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened. I don't know how you fix it. It just doesn't mean enough for guys around here to want to win ball games. And, you know, it pisses me off, but I can't be frustrated and I can't care too much for these guys. They got to care for themselves. So, we got to do better, you know. Got to do better with knowing where your shot's coming and knock them down. You got to do better with knowing film, knowing personnel. This is a team. It's got to do better, man.
So that's 35-year-old Dwayne Wade calling out the young guys for you got to do better. And then the young guys apparently in the meeting yesterday said, hey, D. Wade, will you get on the basketball court and practice with us so we can be better? And then Wade comes out there today apparently after playing last night. And by the way, they have a game tomorrow. And he pushes them in practice. This dude's playing on no knees.
Right.
You're going to kill him.
Right.
For a team that I haven't even looked at the standings.
Dude, you know, I'm mad at myself that I can't come up with, like, rattle off a list of players, but there are so many players that do not practice, and especially during playoff time, guys that don't practice, but they play in the games, and none of these head coaches have problems with it. It's about optimizing the physical ability. If Dwayne Wade practices every single practice, he's not going to have as much in the games.
I agree. And I think they're laying it all out on the table, man. They're having the big meeting. They're all sitting there. And these guys, after being attacked, mm-hmm. if you were a young player on the Bulls, hey, how can I help you? Well, it would help if you would practice more, dude. I get where they're coming from. Then if I was him, I would say back, look, man, I only got so much miles left here. I'm not going to kill myself in practice for a team that's 23-25, the eighth seed. If the playoffs did start today, the Bulls would be in it, and they'd have the right to get their brains kicked in by LeBron James in Cleveland, which I would like to play Cleveland. That would be fun, but it would be if they win a game, it's a miracle.
It would be fun. I know people say that we should cheer for them to make the lottery because that way they'll improve, but they're going to have such a long shot to get the first pick.
I figured out the whole key.
Yeah.
This is the whole key.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to play Rajon Rondo, by the way, because he spoke up for the young guys, and I like veterans stepping up for dudes.
That's his thing.
Backing up people. But this is the whole deal. This is how the Bulls get out of this. You need to make a home run Jimmy Butler trade. Now, I know that's not something that's
popular,
or B, I'm sure other people have thought about it. But, like, I think people say, like, trade Butler. But the only way out of this, it's got to be a home run. You can't just trade him just to trade him. You have to trade him, and then you got to hit a home run on who you're picking, and then they can get out of it. If you just move them along and you do okay on it, mm-hmm. then they're going to be stuck in the lottery for who knows how long. A non-playoff team winning 20-some-odd games, and the interest will go to absolute nothing, and I won't even be able to talk about it on 720 WGN The Beat with you, Harry. Literally no one will care. You have to hit a home run on that trade. And then to me, if I'm Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf, whoever, who do I want making that trade? Because that's my way out. Do I want Gar Foreman, current general manager, doing it? Or do I want somebody else with fresh eyes and fresh ideas to come in and make that move? That's what I would be thinking about.
You know,
if I was John Paxson.
When the Bulls got Derrick Rose, you know, they went, you know, they went and challenged the Heat for the conference finals. They were terrific. Derrick Rose was, you know, rookie of the year. Derrick Rose was an MVP in this league. They were so lucky that the draft of the first pick fell to them. It doesn't happen.
Right.
Orlando got lucky with Shaq. The Knicks got lucky with Patrick Ewing. But, I mean, that really doesn't happen.
Right. Or they have to, like, be the New York Knicks and have the four slot. Now that it hasn't really turned around yet, but to have, like, a Kristaps Porzingis, somebody like that, fall to you, who people underrated, perhaps, something like that. All right. Can I hear Rajon Rondo right before we take this break, just as we can all think about?
I wish you would.
Just think about how veterans stepping up for young guys who are trying to grow.
You know, I wasn't trying to, you know, be the bad guy or talk down anyone, but the young guys, you know, some who didn't have a voice or didn't have that certain platform, I wanted to speak freely and say what I thought. You know, I have a great relationship with a lot of them, pretty much all of them. You know, they had some things to say.
I love people who speak for people who don't have a voice. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
The little guys at the radio station, they're just fighting and climbing, trying to get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have a voice at the radio station, but if I did, I would love to speak for them.
That's not true. That's not true. Well, you know, Rondo showed up in the Las Vegas Summer League. I remember watching one of those games.
Rondo's going to local gyms to hoop.
Right. Rondo's thing is he looks out for the young guys. He's like a coach.
It's all about that passion, man.
Yeah.
You know, the way you look out for who do you look out for? I don't even know.
I look out for the people at the buffet that aren't putting enough starch on their plate.
Exactly. The person in the buffet who's waiting patiently to get that mac and cheese, and they want the fresh mac and cheese, not the last little bits of some, you know, just the little crumbles. You are on the wall for that mac and cheese.
You go ahead and you ask someone on that staff, can you bring out some more mac and cheese? Just because you have mac and cheese on your plate doesn't mean you also don't put spaghetti and mashed potatoes on.
Exactly right.
Okay? That's big or go home.
That's right. That's what I appreciate about you,
this
Harry.
This is very whiny of these young Bulls to say, and I don't want to just like group
Dwayne,
them.
Will you practice with us?
I don't want to group them together without knowing, having more information. It could have been just like two guys that said it, not everybody that said it. But you've got to stop this type of crap. You've got to take care of yourself. Control what you can control.
I have a little bit of background on that. I made a trip up to another NBA city this week, and I learned something about one of those guys.
How was Toronto?
Didn't go there, but I was about 90 minutes north of here. I'll give you that. I'll give you what I learned. It's actually, I find it to be very interesting. Perhaps nobody else will, but I do. This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are taking two of your favorite foods and creating one amazing dish. Chicago's Best Mashups this Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV 720 WGN. WGN 625. Hope you're having a great Saturday. We got Northwestern basketball tomorrow. Sold out Welsh Ryan Arena. Dave Ennett, Joey Meyer on the call. 5:15 pregame. I will be out there as well. Are you going to come to a Cat game with me before the end of the season, Harry?
Don't tease. Yes, the game I want to go to is Michigan.
Yeah?
I am very excited for Northwestern basketball. I take my kids every year. It's awesome because we've been waiting, you know, and I like, you know, my college basketball team is KU. That's where I went out of high school.
Big game tonight with Kentucky.
Oh yeah, I wish they'd play that later. Damn. But what Northwestern is doing right now, and I know Coach, we had Dave Ennett, the voice of Northwestern sports, on with us earlier. I believe he's also the star of the Steve Cochran show. But what Northwestern is doing now in basketball, I mean, it's not just cool. It's thrilling. It is thrilling what Northwestern is doing. And I love Coach Collins saying, let's not get carried away with ourselves. They still have games at Wisconsin. They still have to go to Indiana to play. You know, they've got a long, 10 games left. But, yeah, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be joining Jarrett and Josh on CLTV Sports Feed tomorrow, but I wish I could be at the Northwestern game. I'd love to go with you. I saw you at the Houston Baptist game earlier.
I did. That was nice. We bonded. Illinois, by the way, lost to Penn State today. Kansas, your Jayhawks are down 5 at the half, 32-27. Hope you're not taping the game.
I am not, because I knew we'd be here and I knew it would get talked about. I am taping the horse race, though.
I just double-checked the Northwestern schedule because I didn't think they went to Indiana. I thought you were wrong, but you are spot-on correct, Harry. Very good. February the 25th, they're at Indiana.
And they have a third big road contest. They have Wisconsin. They have
Purdue is going
to
be a very
Purdue. Yeah. They got to go to Mackey.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. The in case you are wondering what's going on around the Big Ten today, and then I'll tell you my story from Milwaukee and what I learned about Michael Carter Williams. Remember, I'll just jump into that. Remember when the Chicago Bulls traded Tony Snell for Michael Carter Williams? Mm-hmm. Okay, and Tony Snell was, let's be honest, an awful basketball player here.
Yeah, he had cool hair.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking, we just got a bona fide point guard for Tony Snell. That's a great trade. Well, the reason why the Bucks traded Michael Carter Williams is because Michael Carter Williams wanted the ball in his hands and didn't want to defer to Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a top 10 player in the league, and Jabari Parker, who's emerging as well.
The Greek freak? That guy is great.
Right. So, there was a little nugget in Casey Johnson's piece of the Tribune about the Bulls saying that one of the people that were complaining was Michael Carter Williams, who, by the way, hasn't been playing as much as of late.
No, he had a DNP the other night.
So that, I thought, was pretty interesting. Illinois lost to Penn State 71-67. Maryland beat Minnesota 85-78. Wisconsin in overtime over Rutgers 61-54. There's your Big Ten action today.
Hey.
Yes.
Maryland coming to Evanston.
Yes, they are.
That'll be a hell
of a game.
Is that the one you want
to go to?
I would go to Maryland or I would go to Michigan.
Okay.
Just got to start with
Michigan.
M.
Okay.
I'll go to any game.
Hey, Harry.
There's a lovely lady who's worked for WGN for a couple years who I could always email and ask her for some tickets.
You're friends with Marlene?
Marlene is awesome. She is the number one employee at WGN Radio. I love Marlene.
Well, that's a great job at getting yourself some Northwestern tickets right there. I don't think I've ever said that, and maybe that's why.
Not only does she do her job at a tough level, but she's just so much fun. When I used to get to go out and do remotes with her.
I'm legit afraid of Marlene.
Oh. The only problem is that oftentimes she's all hands.
Oh, okay. And by the way, Marlene, we love you. I love you too. Thank you so much for everything you've done for me at 720 WGN over the years.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful promotions person. I know we've got the news. But,
we do. We
got
to go.
Yes.
What do you have?
I just want to tell you what the cool Cubs thing.
Oh, we'll do that.
We'll do that
right after news. Cool Cubs thing. And
that doesn't be right after. It could be just before we get out of here.
Okay. Well, there is also Cubs news too. They got a new perhaps starting pitcher, so that we can discuss that along with your cool Cubs news. It'll all flow beautifully here till 7. Amy Goose Saturday Night Special coming up at 7. News is next. 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Amy Guth coming up at 7.
Guth.
I don't know if anybody's ever Guthed her like that before. That's an interesting one.
Tempting,
Guth,
isn't
Guth,
it?
Guth, Guth, Guth. The standard texter on Saturday is writing in about this one person really wants Amy Guth to beat me up. I don't think that's very nice, to be honest. I
like Amy, but I don't think that's possible.
Oh, I think it's possible.
I just saw you do 28 push-ups.
That was pretty strong.
It's very possible, Harry.
Wow. David Jennings just out of nowhere.
It's like, I don't think she probably can.
See, now I feel like I got to, myself up. But I'll just stick with it. You're fine. Fine.
Yeah,
fine.
Just agree.
Fine.
Smile and agree.
Fine.
Maybe. Be very kind and considerate of Ms. Guth and just leave it alone.
It's always interesting what prompts David Jennings to jump onto the show. And it's generally something that's mocking me, which is a very adorable take.
Well, at least he's committed.
Yeah.
Or should be committed.
Right.
One or the other. Either one works for me.
Carm versus Amy in Indian leg wrestling.
I think she'd win.
I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit in Indian leg wrestling, but a straight up. I mean, Amy's like, she does all these you know, intensive classes and all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
She has some skills.
All right. What's the breaking National Hockey League news, Harry?
The NHL has announced that it will not participate, will not be going to the 2018 Olympics, which is both good and bad. It means that the season will not be interrupted, but it also means that we won't see, like, Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews against Patrick Kane. So no NHL players going to the 2018 Olympic Winter Games.
What do you think of that?
I probably won't, I would prefer that they didn't interrupt it. I would prefer that the Olympic play. Now, you know what? I mean, it's kind of cool. I probably won't watch it as much. But look, in 1980, Lake Placid.
It's so hard for you to say anything negative about hockey. You love it so much.
I love hockey. In 1980, a bunch of no-names beat the Russian national team. And that was incredibly exciting. But now that we've seen NHL players in the Winter Olympics, I don't think I want to give that up. So, you know, and I have no problem with, like, I don't have to skate four games a week. So I have no problem with them playing, you know, an intensified schedule. But I, you know, it's probably better for the team that they don't go to the Olympics.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to miss it, but you understand, is what
yes.
you're saying. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I think it's a very tough challenge in the middle of the season. Hey, we're going to take a month off, and you guys are all going to go over and play incredibly important games and represent your country. And then you're going to come back and play for us and earn your millions again and try to get us to the playoffs. I mean, just asking a lot. But I think the players love the opportunity, right?
Oh, yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's like a great honor. You know, I mean, what could be, a, you know, Duncan Keith has won Stanley Cups and he's won gold medals. Jonathan Toews, same deal. You know, Corey Crawford, you know, same deal. I'd like to ask them, you know, how you compare the two.
Yeah, I'd be interested in the answer. Hey, all right.
Boy, I got in so much trouble when the when America tied up Canada in like the final seconds, and they went into overtime in what was it, 2010?
Okay.
I was at the pool bar in Orlando. We took the kids on vacation. And my buddy Rob from the registry in Chesterton was there.
You, Lucy, Reggie,
and Wendy.
And Wendy and, yes. And Rob?
And no, Rob was there on his own.
Oh, okay.
He was with his girlfriend, Rachel. But so we went down just to watch the Hawks. I'm sorry, the Hawks. To watch the
Olympics?
Yeah, the gold medal game.
U.S.-Canada.
Canada and U.S. in 2010. And I was doing a good job. Didn't get too out of control. I actually settled my bar bill. And with the 30 seconds to go, USA tied it. And we reopened the bar bill. And the next thing you know, Mark.
Then it got bad?
Let me just tell you this.
It went sideways?
Instead of going back to the Magic Kingdom with my daughter to watch the fireworks, I found myself in the restaurant of the Contemporary Resort Hotel in an argument with Pluto. And I don't mean the former planet.
You got in an argument with mascot Pluto?
Yes.
To his face?
to his snout?
Was Pluto speaking to you?
He would not speak, but he was insinuating.
Okay, so you legit irritated Pluto to the point that Pluto was going to get physical with you? Speak truth.
Pluto was...
Why did you attack Pluto? What was Pluto doing?
I did not
doing?
Attack Pluto.
Sounds like you attacked Pluto. Dan, no, did Harry attack Pluto? Because I think you attacked Pluto.
It sounds a little unwarranted.
Yeah.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Well, what did Pluto do wrong?
Look, I think Pluto thought I was doing something wrong.
What did Pluto think you were doing wrong? If Pluto thought it, I think you were doing something wrong.
Well, to the best of my knowledge, you know how like Sammy Sosa says he doesn't remember stuff?
Oh.
Like, I literally don't remember all the stuff. But I just know that if that game hadn't gone into overtime, then Lucy and I would have gone back in the park, stayed for the fireworks,
right.
And instead I'm arguing with Pluto.
Well, these things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think clearly you learned from it, Harry, and you're a different Harry today, and you'll never, ever, ever get in another fight with Pluto.
Right. I just, you know, we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, but Pluto's doing some parade in the middle of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened one day ago yesterday in 1982?
Oh, I thought you were just going to ask me what happened yesterday.
No. Got to go all the way back to 1982.
I remember what happened in 1986, 2 days ago. I remember what happened in 1986 on this day, which the you know
this on yesterday in 1982, the Cubs acquired a Hall of Famer for Larry Boa and Ivan DeJesus.
1-1 pitch.
There it is.
So great.
Ryne Sandberg became a Cub, Harry.
And Whitey Herzog, one of the greatest managers ever, called him Baby Ruth after the game. Rhino was the throw-in.
Yep.
Rhino was the throw-in on that deal. And I remember I was driving home from Arlington Park. I was not, you know, I went to 1,000 Cub games growing up, but I was lucky enough to do that. But I was not at that game. I was at Arlington Park, my home away from home. And I was driving back listening, and Bobby D had to get on base, and Bobby De Niro got on base, and then Rhino homered. He did it twice. He did it off Bruce Sutter. And what made it so great, I'm sorry to go off here, but like you know, you brought up like, you know, the one girl in high school that wanted to go out with me and stuff. What made it so great is that was in the day before there was every baseball game on TV. That was the game of the week.
Yep.
And there was a game that was supposed to be game of the week that got rained out. And shame on me for not remembering which game that was. But because of the rainout of, like, the Yankees game, the Cubs and the Cardinals, that game was shown to the nation. And it was the only game they could watch out of market that day. And Ryne Sandberg was God.
It was a big deal. This week in baseball back then was a big deal.
Twib.
Little Saturday morning. Boom. Boom.
Mel Allen.
Look at you. Boom. I loved it. So, all right. And we can bring it current, too, because we probably should do that. So what do you think of the new Cubs pitcher here, Harry? Brett Anderson, former Dodger, had a decent 2015, 10-9 with a 3.69 ERA, career-high 31 starts. The Cubs signing him to a $3.5 million one-year contract. He can make another $6.5 in incentives. He's been hurt a ton. He had a significant...
Yeah, he's been hurt a lot. He's missed a lot of baseball.
Yeah, he was... last year, he was sidelined until August with a bulging disc in his back. He had a blister on the pitching hand that also affected his September. He only pitched in two games. So there you go. He's going to be 29 years old on February the 1st, which is coming up here. 38-43... for his career with a 3.86 ERA, your newest Cub.
He throws about four different pitches.
Sinker baller?
Yeah. You know, how do you argue with Theo and Jet?
You don't.
I mean...
You bow down,
right.
You say thank you.
I mean, I've really started getting turned... You know, it feels like the Cubs still might do something for another starting pitcher. But, you know, I've been getting into the whole Mike Montgomery thing as a starter. You know, I think the Cubs might... have their, you know, have a very good starting pitcher right there. And isn't it interesting to you that Jason Hamill has not signed yet?
Well, and Travis Wood's out there.
And Travis Wood is out there.
I don't get why. Well, actually, I do get why. They don't. Clearly, the market for Travis Wood is above what the Cubs want to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But that guy was super valuable.
Oh, he was terrific. He pitched so often. And it's weird how he, as a starter, he was at one level, and they put him in the bullpen, and he was, like, at a different level.
Yeah, 29 years old Travis Wood apparently getting interest to be a starter somewhere. I wouldn't have minded if, out of nowhere, Theo and Jed had said, you know what, Travis Wood wants to start. We're not opposed to giving him a shot at it, but they don't want to pay the Travis Wood rate.
Maybe this year, on the first day of spring training,
Travis Wood surprise.
Travis Wood surprises the same way Dexter
the
did.
Woody surprise.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you never know.
Play in left field. How great was that? The Travis Wood catch in left field. I mean, you know, in a season full of just giggly good memories, how awesome was that Travis Wood catch?
It was awesome. You know what was who was also awesome in the playoffs, but I think we're getting a little bit out over our skis in this city right now? News earlier this week that Javi Baez is getting his own street.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
What?
Chicago thanking Javi Baez for his own seat. DNA Info, Matt Bubala and all them doing the great work over there. City Council approved to sign for Javi Baez Way in Humboldt Park. The Baez portion of the street will be near the Wrigley Field replica, dubbed Little Cubs Field, on the west side.
That's very cool. If you haven't driven by that, drive by that.
Yeah. This is on the west side of West Luis Munoz Marine Drive. And then, so apparently Luis Munoz Marine was the first elected governor, thank you, of Puerto Rico. The street named after him surrounds Humboldt Park's namesake park in a neighborhood defined by large steel Puerto Rican flags. Baez, 24 years old, born in Puerto Rico, grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, but they're giving a part of the street to Javi Baez.
I like it. I love Javi Baez. Javi Baez.
A street already?
Hey, they gave one to Travis Wood. They gave one to Mark Grace.
Travis Wood. That's true. Wood and Grace do have streets.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're not actually named after those two.
Javi
Baez
about?
Has his own street.
Javi Baez is so
I mean, if they're going to give Baez a street, honestly, they should give Harry Tynowitz a street. What have you... You've done more for this city than Baez.
Oh, sure. Sure I have.
You didn't hit a home run in game one of the DS. And you weren't the co-MVP of the NLCS, but you've done something.
Javi Baez, the tag.
He's 24 years old. He's barely even been here. He's already got a street named after him.
How cool is that tattoo on the back of his neck?
Excuse me, the MLB tattoo?
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's a good tattoo. All right, here, let's take a quick time out. Amy Guth is coming up. And one little fun nugget for you before we get to Amy. 720 WGN. Great to be with you this afternoon. Craig Hodges, former Chicago Bull, will be in studio tomorrow.
Cool.
Love Craig Hodges. And he's got a book out talking about how he was banned from the NBA, went to the White House with the first championship Bulls team, gave the White House press secretary a list of things that he thought was wrong in the African-American community. He wore a white robe to the White House that perhaps some took offense to. And Craig Hodges was the NBA's leading three-point shooter at the time, but the Bulls released him and nobody picked him up. So Craig will be in here tomorrow and might ask a couple questions about playing with Michael Jordan.
You think you might?
Just a couple.
Do you remember his number?
I believe I do. Peanut Tillman also will be on the show tomorrow. So... that's going to be a good show, but I don't think it's as good as this show because the Blackhawks are getting creative. And Brian Campbell, whose nickname is?
Soup.
And then Artemi Panarin, his nickname is?
The Bread Man.
So why not create the show Soup and a Sandwich? It's like porn music.
Welcome to this episode of Soup and a Sandwich. Today, we're going to talk about toppings for some soup. We're going to try these delicious saltine crackers. They're so salty, but they also soak up all the flavor in your soup. Artemi, would you like to try one?
No.
Please, please.
Have one. No, thank you.
Please, have one.
No, thank you.
They're so salty.
Grab one and
eat. No, thank you.
Just one.
No, thank you.
I said have one.
Okay.
Aren't they so good?
Yes.
That'll be all for today, folks. Please tune in for the next episode of Soup and a Sandwich.
Amazing program. Congratulations to both Brian Campbell and Artemi Panarin. Soup and the Bread Man. Soup and a Sandwich, Harry. Why didn't you come up with that?
I because they used it. Brian Campbell, one of the fastest skating defensemen that the Hawks have ever had, and a key part of their first Stanley Cup, is such a good dude. I mean,
he is.
Know,
he's the best.
There are individuals in every sport that are good dudes, but you know, I have found over the years that hockey players tend to, maybe it's because they make the least amount of money, although Campbell makes a fortune, and Panarin now makes a fortune. But Brian Campbell is such a good dude, and that's a really funny idea. But how many topics could they get for Soup and Seven? Well, you know, Manhattan or New England style. You know, I mean, how many topics, how many different shows can you do?
They are going to be stretched to come up with things, but if there's two guys that can do it, along with Blackhawks creativity from John McDonough, Jay Blunk, and whoever else you want to throw in there, Pete Hassan.
Pete Hassan.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I know you had one thing that you wanted to get out there, Harry.
The Cubs are doing this. We know it's the White Sox weekend. I hope everybody's going to Sox Fest. And remember, they're at the Hilton tomorrow with Sox Fest. The Cubs are letting 20 fans present World Series Cubs with their championship rings. And you can nominate someone. Just make a video. To enter, all you got to do is submit a video using Twitter, hashtag Cubs ring bearer, before midnight on February 15th. So just get that in there by midnight, I guess, Valentine's Day. And you just have to be over 18 to do it. And you have to nominate someone who's over 13. Be creative. Have fun. Why are they, you know, worthy of presenting a ring? I might nominate you, Mark Kerman.
I'm nominating you, Harry. You're in. This. You deserve it. You've been there longer. I think you should absolutely have it.
You've loved, I mean, we both loved them since we were kids. You've worked in the park. You've helped many a Cub fan get through a long afternoon.
I mean, what's more valuable, though? I've worked there as a vendor. You tipped the vendors. I mean,
that's true.
That's, I mean.
You guys, when you go to the games, don't just tip. Grossly overtip.
Grossly overtipping is wonderful. All right, Amy Guth is next. We're going to talk to her in a second. 720 WGN.